corruption, and lies. Greedy men driven to ruthless and bizarre acts. Now, these could be tales from the business section of your daily paper, but they also form the basis of three classic true crime tales, now republished by Broadway Books in a series called The Library of Larceny. Where the Money Was tells the story of infamous bank robber Willie Sutton. McGurdy is a behind-the-scenes biography of a poolroom hustler. And Ponzi details the life of the man who brought us the pyramid scheme. Writer and critic Luke Sant is the series editor. He joins us from our New York bureau. Mr. Sant, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Now, these books were all published before. Why do you think that these scummy characters ought to come to our attention again now?
Well, they are pertinent to the mood of the moment. We've had many financial scandals in recent years, some of them using techniques pioneered by these innovators in the earlier part of the 20th century. Also, they're just interesting characters, and for some reason or other, swindlers have a way with words. Wonder why.
So do you think you might get some kind of nostalgia thing going for the bad actors of the good old days?
Oh, it's possible fallout from this, yes, I suppose. It's not our main intention, but, you know, certainly looking back to the time when you could buy off a whole town with a few bucks, you know, buy the whole police department for a coffee and donuts, you know, it's and you could arrange deals in the smoking car of the train. Things just don't work that way anymore. They do tend to be larger scaled, although, of course, you have your numerous backroom operations.
And computers nowadays.
And computers, that's right.
I suspect that what really attracted you to these books was the style. I was sort of bounced back into another period, and I kept thinking of words that you hardly ever hear these days, like raffish and louche and fedora and pomade. These bad guys have a kind of sleazy charm, and the way the books are written, I think, has a considerable charm. Is it the writing that pulled you in, really?
Yes. It varies from book to book, but there is a common mode of barroom raconteur going on there. And you kind of, you know, lean back in your chair or lean forward on your stool and take it all in, and clouds of smoke drift by.
Well, could you read something for us? Why don't we start with the great pool shark, McGurdy?
Yes, indeed.
Now, who wrote this book?
This was written by a man named Robert Byrne, who was a best-selling author on billiards history.
And a man who knew a thing or two, I assume, about pool sharks.
I would imagine so, yeah. This has every bit the sound of an inside job, this book. It doesn't sound like one of those imported writers who doesn't really know the score. This is from McGurdy, near the beginning of the book, talking about the variety of scams employed by traveling pool hustlers as they go from town to town and devise various routines to fleece the locals and then quickly leave town. There usually are two or three guys going around the country pretending to be rich Texas cattle ranchers ready to lose a bundle. Here's how that act goes. The hustler walks into a room and stops just inside the door. He is wearing a $200 buckskin coat, a 10-gallon Stetson, and fancy $100 boots. He makes a big show of lighting a cigar as he looks around, maybe using two or three big kitchen matches. When he's sure everybody in the joint is looking at him, he shakes out the match, blows a long funnel of smoke, and says, "Well, boys, I came to play." If that doesn't generate some business, he can try counting his money, which always seems to work like magic. He goes over to a table that all the customers can see and lays out his cash, making piles, starting with the 50s and 100s, working down to the 5s and 10s, until there is beautiful money all over. If there is anybody in the room who can hold a cue, he will want to take a crack at some of that loot, and if he's chicken, he'll want to see somebody else do it. There'll be guys grabbing phones and flying out the doors and windows, trying to get hold of Toledo Slim or Marvin the Mailman, anybody who can play a lick. It's the sight of the money. It does something to people. They do things they shouldn't.
Well, now there's a universal truth.
Yes, indeed.
Now, the book about Willie Sutton, which is called Where the Money Was, this is the quotable quote, right?
Yes. When asked why he robbed banks, he replied, because that's where the money was.
Well, this is a book that's written by Mr. Sutton with Edward Lynn, and it's quite a colorful account of a bank robber who was a jailhouse lawyer and escape artist. But he seems also to have been something of a glamorous character, kind of a ladies' man.
Mm-hmm. He had a certain kind of B-movie appeal. And there's something disarming about him. You know, he's so utterly candid in his memoirs. You know, no matter what your views are on robbing banks or jailbreaks or anything like that, you can't help but cheer him on because he's just so absolutely straight and above board about it. You know, to live outside the law, you must be honest. He's the exemplar of this.
Charles Ponzi was surely the sleekest swindler of his day. He was a very dapper sort of gent in the 1920s, carried a gold-headed walking cane. He actually got people to just give him their money with a very simple idea that still bears his name, the pyramid, the Ponzi scheme. The book is called Ponzi. It was written by Donald Dunn. And there's a kind of a funny description of one of the very first times that Ponzi tried the Ponzi scheme.
Yes, here he sent out postcards to his lucky first investors, inviting them to come pick up their dividends. He could visualize the activity that would follow each recipient finding the card in his mailbox. There would be momentary surprise, particularly on the part of those who had invested small sums. A few individuals would hurry to his office immediately to collect their money. But others would take their time, convinced by the mere fact that they had a one-cent postcard, that they also had a profit of 50% on their investment. They would read the card over, show it to their wives and relatives, visit a restaurant or one of the bootleg clubs that had already sprung up everywhere, and show the card to friends. Some of the friends would be suspicious. Some would accompany the original investor to the offices of the Securities Exchange Company to watch him collect his money. And they would leave their own money behind when they left, prepared to return in 45 days for their own 50% profit. Back at their jobs, at the restaurants, or at the recreation halls, they would tell others of their stupendous good fortune, and the ones they told would come running. Each satisfied customer would become a salesman, self-appointed. Like a pyramid, inverted and growing from a single point that was the fertile brain of Charles Ponzi, the Securities Exchange Company would flourish until it rivaled the empires of Morgan, Rockefeller, and Carnegie.
Now, you have written your own book about the seedy underbelly of society. Your book is called Low Life. It was published a few years ago. What is it about you and scumbags?
swindling in particular is a theme that is so woven into American culture because it has to do with the notion of self-enrichment and with the notion of self-invention, which are both just sunk into the foundations of this country. And, of course, many people have accomplished these feats with complete probity. But others have chosen the back room, the back door, rather. They're also the kinds of things. Crime fascinates me in some ways less on its own account than because it provides a glimpse of certain aspects of society, which are not necessarily seedy ones. It's a glimpse that you don't ordinarily get. It's sort of history from the ground up.
Luc Sant is series editor for the Library of Larceny from Broadway Books. By the way, you should check out the very funny little logo for the series. Mr. Sant spoke to us from NPR's New York Bureau. Luc Sant, thanks very much.
Thank you.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.